Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Playful Humans Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Montague, and my guest this week is Joel Bryant. He is a comedian, actor, MC, and all-around playful human. So we're going to find out how he plays for a living. And if you would like to learn more about how you can have more fun, flow, and fulfillment in your life, you can go to playfulhumans.com and take our playfulness quiz, playfulhumans.com/quiz for that one. And we take the burned out and bored and we try to inspire you to have a little more fun, enjoy life and rock out. Find Joel Bryant at joelbryant.net. Here we go. Joel, welcome to the podcast. Nice dancing. I appreciate playing. One of the cool things about interviewing playful people is so far everybody's gotten into it. I haven't had anybody just sit there like, when's this theme song going to be over?
How do you not? I mean, it's a great upbeat theme song. You have to. I mean, it's not Angel by Sarah McLachlan. It's like an upbeat, fun song.
Next time, that's what we'll go with for sure. But that's Chasing the Sunshine by Pink Zebra. So check that one out. Joke of the week is how we like to start here, Joel. Joke of the week is brought to you by vaccines. Vaccines, you know, we save millions of people every year, right? You could just say thank you, shut up, and let us help you. Vaccines, try one today. Joel, do you have a joke for us?
This is my favorite joke in the world, so strap in. There are two racehorses fixing to run a race. And one horse looks at the other horse. He says, I don't feel good about this race. I have not had a good season. I feel like I may lose this race. This might be yours to win. The second horse says, you know what? I feel the same way. I haven't had a great year either, but I'll tell you what, last week I was about to run a race thinking I was going to lose. And then this little person comes up behind me and shoved a hot poker in my ass and I won the race. And the other horse says, that's crazy. Cause like a month ago I was having a bad season, but this little person shoved a hot poker in my ass. And that was my only race win of the season. And then behind them, this racing dog walks up and he says, look, I hear you guys talking. And it was weird. You drew me in because I was like you. I was having a terrible season. And then must have been 6.5, 7 weeks ago, this little person shoved a hot poker in my ass. I beat every dog on the track. And then the first horse looked at the second horse. He goes, oh my God, it's a talking dog. Come on. <All right. laughs> Sorry. It's not. It takes a while. It's not for everybody.
No, I like that. You can make it as long as you need to make it and go on forever and then throw it up. I love those. And I love jokes that you can steal. And that's great. I appreciate that for you as a comedian who gets paid for such things. But before we get started, I'll give you the choice. I found something interesting on your website and I was wondering, do I save that for the end or do I like a Band-Aid, pull it off and then I'll just see where the show goes from here. What do you think? Do we need to get to know each other or should I just throw it out there?
When you say it's like a Band-Aid, I want to pull it off. It makes it sound really heavy and like it's like some kind of wound. Let's just pull it off. I mean, you can't tease the people and then, or you know what? It's a good tease. Save it for the end because let's save it. That's a tease.
Either way, we can start with the bang or end with the bang. Let's save it for a minute here, but we'll see if people can find it at joelbryant.net by the time that I bring it up. So go take a look around the website, see if you noticed the same thing I did. So you've done a ton of stuff and you're kind of like me in that way. You've hosted game shows, a summer camp, you've emceed at the Super Bowl, you've acted, done stand-up and all kinds of great stuff. So did you ever have a real job? Is this your personality? I feel like out of everybody I've interviewed so far, you embody play even when you're not working. So you travel and run marathons and try to live life to the fullest. I really admire that.
I just got the chills when you asked that. Actually, I was thinking, wow, it has been quite a journey. I did have a real job. I was doing the wedding tables thing and everything else that you do after college. It took me a while. When I was 11 or 12, I realized I wanted to get into acting, and that was the only goal, just to get into acting because, you know, when you're too young, you don't think that there's other things like hosting or emceeing or, you know, you have 10 choices from your guidance counselor. And as I went to college for it, and then I graduated college, and you kind of follow the steps of life that you're taught, right? Kind of the past generation of, look, you work, you get a 9-to-5, you get married, right. You have a couple of kids, you're going to retire. And I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it's a very lovely state, but a very content state. And so many people are just on that track of, you know, you go to high school, you go to college, you open it. And so that's all I knew. So after college, I was like, okay, I got to pay off my loans, got to get a job. And I started realizing that acting was not going to happen right away. I wasn't going to win an Oscar by 25. And so I just started doing other things to not supplement it, but to perform, to make myself excited. You know, even in high school, I started stand-up comedy when I was 16. I did my first set. And and I started hosting. The problem is I would rather laugh and have people laugh with me than anything else. Everything else just seems so boring to me. So if I could entertain people and have them entertained with me, then that is fulfilling in all respects. And to be able to get paid for it, that took a while to figure that out. But once you could figure out that could be a job, then it opens up the world to you.
Well, that's interesting. I always felt the same way. Definitely when I think about like the best parts of my childhood, it's when I'm laughing and being goofy or playing sports with my friends. And you're just in that moment of flow. You're living life, right? And there's no pressure to do anything or perform. Like everybody is really in that recreation kind of fun state. That to me was the best. That's when I made the best friends. That's when, you know, we had the most fun as a family. And I always thought, yeah, how could I do that too? Right. Inspired by Steve Martin, my mom and her side of the family, very goofy sense of humor, like Monty Python, Benny Hill, Steve Martin, really, really goofball people with no serious bent or mission on it. So I always thought that was fun, but you're right. I also had that side where I needed to do something. So I kind of went first. I said, hey, I'm going to play and DJ. And if I'm 18 and I have no, you know, overhead here, I can take a lot more risk. So I kind of went for it first and then said, you know what, maybe let me see what it's like to actually, you know, pay off these student loans and credit cards and stuff and get serious and be a corporate trainer for a while. Right. But how has that worked for you in actually figuring out how to pay the bill? So was there a transition? Was there a moment where you said like, F it, I'm just doing this and stuff? How did that work?
Yeah, to a degree. I mean, like you, there's so many different paths that we've taken. We have so many different kind of job titles, I guess. It's hard to define. Yeah. Like if someone says, what do you do for a living? I think the way you say it, I play for a living, works really well. And I'm 100% going to steal that. And I'll refer him back to the podcast.
Oh, yeah, but I'll do it.
I just... You know what it was? I was raised in a very practical environment, and I, you know, to pay the bills and get jobs, and then everything else I did was just for fun. And so then I started to, then I just took leaps of faith. I just said, you know, I remember I was waiting tables for like 8 years through my 20s and or almost 9 years, and I was just, you know, I was doing some gigs here and there, but I felt like I was very content. And it struck me one day because one of my customers go when I was waiting on them to go, oh, you're still here. You're a lifer. And I was like, oh no, I'm not like, cause there's a couple of waitresses there, servers who were lifers there. I was like, that's not me, you know? And that really struck me. I said, I could easily wake up from this 15, 20 years from now. It was good money. You know, I enjoyed it. It was fine. And I didn't want to wake up 20 years from then being in my, you know, mid 40s, 50 years old and saying like, well, you know, I have a nice car. And that was all I would have to show for it. Right. So that struck me. And then probably a year after that, I was kind of like trying to figure it out. And then a year after that, I just took a leap of faith and I quit. I said, I'm going to quit. And I was doing some, you know, I was dabbling. The acting was going fine. There was some things here and there. I was doing a little bit of DJing. I used to be a DJ as well and doing some hosting and things like that. But I was just dabbling, but I didn't have to really hustle at it because I was waiting tables 5 days a week and I was doing fine financially.
Right.
So So I just eventually one day just said, here's my 2 weeks notice. I'm quitting. And I had no idea where I was going to go after that. But I said, if I don't have income coming in, then I better figure out how to make income doing what I love doing. So it was a complete leap of faith. Shout out to a Steve Martin film, but it was a complete leap of faith. And it made the difference. So if I'm ever hungry and needed money, I just said, okay, I got to figure out how to make money without actually getting a real job.
Well, I love that. I think there is something to burning your bridges and getting committed about it, right? And a great author named Benjamin Hardy said 100% committed is easier than 99% committed. Like when you're trying to do a diet or something, if you have to guess every time, oh, is this the meal where I cheat? Or is the next one the meal where I cheat? You're going to end up cheating way more than if you just say, I never cheat. This is my lifestyle. This is my diet. I'm 100% in. And I think all the professions that play for a living, especially ones that people feel like are hard, but it really, it's any profession, right? If you're going to be a lawyer, if you go, well, I do lawyering part-time on this, nobody wants that lawyer, right? You want somebody that's committed to it, and you have to build up your reputation and client base, and nobody just starts as successful a top law firm in the country. But well, I want to ask you about the stuff you do to play, because you really do a lot of stuff outside of that too, that I mentioned that was, I noticed on your website, more recreation stuff. So tell me about that. When did it kind of become your whole personality where you're playing for work and not work? And how do you balance that? Are there times where you're like, I just need to read a book and be serious or not?
I just want to, my whole philosophy is we're here for such a short amount of time. And depending on what you believe religiously, we take one spin around this place, you know, and at some point you're not going to be able to do things physically as, you know, biologically
able to do things.
And I it's always been in me to kind of play and be recreational and have general fun with life. But once again, it kind of took me a while. It took me my 20s. My 20s were different than most people's 20s. I think most people spend their 20s just kind of being careless and reckless and living life and exploring vices and everything else. I was more focused. I was like, look, I'm going to be an actor. I got to get the job. I got to pay the bills. I got to do this. And then I think probably when I hit my 30s and I didn't have that job anymore because I quit the job and I realized I wasn't going to have a mantle full of Oscars at that point and everything else. I realized it took, and this is a philosophy that took a while. It just said, just enjoy life. I mean, it's very, and it started, and it probably coincided with reading a lot of Buddhism and really getting into Buddhism where it's like, look, all you have is today. You can't control the past. You know, it's already been done. You can't control the future. You could try, but it's going to do what it does. All you literally have is this moment right now. So you just have to enjoy this moment. And do you want to enjoy this moment watching a television show? Do you want to enjoy this moment vacuuming? Or do you want to enjoy this moment by signing up for a crazy race that you've never done before or going to get in your car and driving to Mexico or whatever? I mean, that seems a lot more fun to me than washing windows. So yeah, it's just the philosophy took a while, but I think there's just so much to do in life, so much to grab onto. I don't want to do it after I turn 65, between 65 and 75 or however long you're going to live. I want to do it while I'm still able to enjoy it.
And tell me about what that's meant to you. So I will get serious and give you the serious question. But serious? not to like, I'm not trying to go Oprah. I don't want to make anybody cry on the playfulness podcast. But what is that like meant to you? Do you find, I think a lot of people that haven't done it don't realize that it's not that scary, that it's actually just more fun. And it's kind of more scary to sit in your room and go, oh my gosh, am I going to lose my one corporate job and then be out on the streets and live in a van down by the river? But when you're in the van down by the river, it's actually not that bad. It's kind of fun.
I've literally been shopping for vans for about 5 years now. I almost bought a van about a year ago, just before the pandemic. I literally almost bought a van because I travel all the time too. Like I don't really have a house or anything else. You know what it is? I just started saying yes to everything. You know,
that's awesome.
A lot of it came from, and it took a while to manifest it because it is scary, especially when you come from a certain mindset. But I would say probably 10 years ago when I ran my first marathon, I was kind of on this train of, you know, I just start saying yes to stuff and do stuff and enjoy things. And stand-up was going well and the hosting was going well and everything else. Business-wise, it was doing fine. But recreationally and casually, like lifestyle-wise, I wasn't quite there at the having fun yet. And somebody sent me a donation form. They were running the LA Marathon. They said, hey, I'm running the LA Marathon to raise money for APLA, AIDS Project Los Angeles. And I wrote him back. I said, is it too late to sign up for it? And he goes, no, you can donate. I said, no, to actually train for the marathon. I've never done a marathon. And he goes, I suppose so. Yeah, we start next week. And so I just said, let's train for a marathon. Let's do it. You know, and so,
awesome.
And then I just started saying yes to everything that started coming up. I mean, within reason, obviously, but it's so much more fun to say yes, because you can always back away, but I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, you know what? I should have done that one thing. I want to bungee jump first and be scared versus saying I've never bungee jumped, you know?
Yeah. I think that's really what it was for me too. And where I'm trying to go more because, and I want to ask you about what pandemic play looks like for you, because I feel like that was really what was another reawakening for me, was that when all that was sucked away and it's like, okay, just stay in your house and watch Netflix here for a while. That worked for me for a little bit, but I have too much energy for that. I don't want to waste a whole year of my life waiting for the pandemic to be over. I need to create something. I need to make something. I need to do projects around the house, build something, have something to show for 2020, right? Before it was over. And that's kind of how this podcast got came to be. But how is it for you? So what does play look like for you now? It's got to be a little different than 2019.
Yeah, for someone who makes their living doing live events and lives from gig to gig and lives on the road, life took a turn. Life certainly changed. Essentially, when the nationwide lockdown hit in March, I just started rehearsing a play that was going to be in Palm Springs. It's like a one-person play. And then I was going to do another play in New York. And then throughout the summer, I had stand-up gigs and hosting gigs booked. And then the fall, I had another show booked. And then tons of like charity stuff and all sorts of other corporate stuff. As soon as it hit and the play I was doing, two rehearsals in, they said, we can't do the play. And then the other play canceled. And then everything just started canceling.
Yeah.
At that time, I was being housed in Palm Springs by the theater and everything else. And they said, yeah, you have to be out on Thursday. And, and I had no income now feasibly for the rest of the year, at least 6 months. I had no place to live or anything else. So I said to myself, I've never driven LA to New York. I love road trips. And I said, I have no time limit. Let me just drive LA to New York. I've never done it before. And then I started thinking, okay, so if I stay and see my, my mom was in Vegas at the time, I could see my brother in Albuquerque. And then I started thinking, this is such a unique time where America is shut down. Like at the early part of the stage where everybody's just like, okay, we're all indoors. Like we're all politically and scientifically on the same level. We're all indoors. So I just said, well, I'm in no rush to get to New York. So I decided to do a photo project and go to all the major hubs in America and take pictures of it completely shut down. So I went to like Bourbon Street and I went to Times Square, Fisherman's Wharf. And so I just started mapping out the Mall of America, these huge places that are usually packed, what they look like completely shut down. So it became like this 3.5-4 week photo project of me just driving around for like 4 weeks safely and everything else. I want to make sure that's out there. Yeah. Mapped and everything. Sure. So, and it was fascinating. I mean, just being on Bourbon Street with literally nobody there, driving down Bourbon Street and just walking on Bourbon Street and nobody and shuttered. And it was a very transformational project because I started out kind of like, I'm going to do this fun thing. And by the time I was getting to the end, I was like, this is really heavy. Like we're in a different time.
Did feel post-apocalyptic there. Oh, it was when the toilet paper was gone and like grocery store shelves were empty. And
it was insane. And some of the places I went to was just completely insane. And then about a month and a half, 2 months ago, the Smithsonian Institute reached out and they said, hey, we saw your photos online and we would like to archive your photos in the Smithsonian as a snapshot of 2020. And we may be doing a photo display of all your pictures at the Smithsonian. So I became a professional photographer during the pandemic.
Yeah. Well, okay. That brings up what I found on your website, which was the nude photo of you. So I had to bring this up because even though they're not in the photo, but I admired the balls of having that on your website. So
to clarify, you can't see my balls.
Not in the photo.
Figuratively, you admired the balls. You know, I was doing, I know a lot of, obviously like yourself, probably I know tons of creatives and I was living in LA and I knew a photographer who just did this amazing photography stuff. And he said his name is Franz Sony and he's stunningly fantastic. And he was just friends. And he said, one day I want to do a photo shoot with you. I was raising money to run a marathon in Athens for APLA. And and that was like, ended up being my last marathon because it was like the original marathon path. That's why it's the last one. I was like, you ran from marathon to Athens. And I was like, you're not going to do better than that. That's the first.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah.
Check it's out. Greece. And so I said, yeah, let's do a photo shoot. I need to raise money. I need to raise a lot of money because I've got to travel internationally for charity. They'll pay for it, but I have to raise the money to pay them. So let's do a photo shoot. And we started, I had some ideas. You go in, you're like, And then I'm very comfortable with him and I'm comfortable with myself. And he said, let's try this. Let's do this. Let's do this. Oh yeah, take that. Let's get the full body thing. And you just, if you're comfortable, you just say yes to it. It's within reason. There were some shots that were accidentally snapped that you couldn't use online, he's a professional. You work with professional, you know what you're getting. It wasn't something where I was,
You weren't worried about it showing up somewhere.
And also like we've been saying, when am I going to look like that again? Like just put it up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How old were you? I was going to ask that.
It was last week. I mean, it was last week.
Yeah.
It was 3.5 years, 4 years ago. So not too far removed.
Proud of that. Yeah,
not too far. I still try to maintain. Yeah. You know, it's the same thing. You just do it. Why not? Like why not just do it? You know, that's why it's up there.
Yeah. Well, I was impressed in all respects. And I thought like mine would be more comical for sure if I tried to pull that off now. So now you've given me something to work for. The marathon I wanted to run, I was going to do this. And I've gotten up to like 5-7 miles and I just can't crack it. I keep getting hurt every time I get there. But there's a marathon that runs past Area 51 at midnight in the desert. I thought like, that's one, like it's a straight shot. It's flat. It's in the desert. Be cool at night, dry. That would be the one to start with.
See, I would do something like that in a heartbeat. Like I love finding random things. One of my favorite hobbies now is if I go to a new city or if I'm in a city and I have a night off, I just look online and say things to do. So, and I'll go into like the weirdest. I was like, oh, there's a circus sideshow tonight. Let's go to a circus sideshow or let's, you know, random.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. I just look for random things to do because that excites me. The difference. That's why I love to travel. That's why I love to do the different kind of work I do, because there's always more. I don't want to do the same old stuff. There's always so much more interesting things out there.
And then you're going to be at the Super Bowl here, hopefully again with the Kansas City Chiefs down there. So tell me about that. How'd you get that gig?
This is the fifth year doing it. I was in a hosting workshop, and I'd been doing live hosting and stand-up comedy for years before the hosting workshop. And it's like an on-camera hosting workshop. And I said, okay, let me get my on-camera skills. And then they brought in Rossi Morelli one day just to kind of show all the hosts there who are on camera how to do it live. He's like, here's how you do live hosting. And so, you know, one by one, you went up there and kind of did some script. And so I went up there and did really well because I had so much experience. That was my main experience doing it. So afterwards I talked to him and I knew he did the Super Bowl stuff. He had started the year before just hosting events for the NFL there. And so I talked to him afterwards and said, thanks for the class. He goes, you're really good. I was like, this is kind of what I do. Like, this is like, you know, how I make my money. And I told him, you know, I love football and I love hosting if you ever need anybody. And so it just turned into the first year we did it with him was in Houston at the Houston Super Bowl. And it was amazing. So they had 10 days of just like live performances outside. And he goes, I want you to come down. He brings like a crew of hosts in and there's like 5 different stages. And he said, okay, you're going to run this like small outdoor local music stage. And then after a couple of days, he was like, okay, you're actually responsible and you got it down. Let's put you on the main stage and you could introduce people like Solange and Gary Clark Jr. and everything else. And the best experience was when I had to bring up, like I had to go up before ZZ Top in front of like 20,000 people who there to see ZZ Top. And the guy is like, all right, so you have to go kill about 25 minutes. We got to change the equipment over. So we had to kill 25 minutes in front of everybody. And here's a football to give away. Go for it. And it was like, boom, you're on. And you have to walk in front of 20,000 people and be like, an experience like that, working without a net like that, and with those circumstances is my passion. That's the best thing.
Me too. I would say that's one of my biggest memories too. I did a concert with, it was like an oldies concert. So Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons were the headliner and I got to go open up and they said kind of same thing, like go up there and chill. And that was the only time in my life where I walked out on that stage. And the first time I took a breath to start talking, you know, and you're like, okay, here we go. And I was like, no, wait, I need a second. let me just take one more step back, take another breath. And then we're out there.
Well, I mean, that's stuff the only like time that's
happening when you see that sea of humanity for the first time.
Well, stuff like that is scary. And that's, I think, what scares a lot of people about what we do. And I can't fathom people that would never want to do what I do. But there are people who are legitimately scared. I'd say majority of people couldn't do it. But to me, I couldn't imagine sitting at a desk 5 days a week. You know, I couldn't imagine selling insurance or working retail. Like to me, the biggest thrill when the heart starts pumping and the blood starts going and I start sweating is when I go like, oh, this is a good gig. Like when I'm doing stand-up and they're like, and a comedian comes off and he goes, oh, this audience is terrible. I'm like, perfect, let's do this.
Yeah.
You know, that's to me, it's the challenge of life, right? It's not the same old, same old.
Wow, and that's what makes life interesting. And that's where you're like, we're going to make some memories today, right? This is awesome. We're going to rest of our life.
And the Super Bowl thing has just kind of rolled over and it's like yearly thing. You know, you do something well once, they keep bringing you back. And I love football. And I'll be in Florida this year. It's official. So
That's awesome. Anything we'll we can do to support you besides that, or just check out the website and follow what you got going on? Anything?
Yeah. Check out the website, joelbryant.net. You know, I wish I had some kind of charity or whatever, but I just do all of the charity stuff. So if anybody has any charities that they need somebody for, I'm more than happy to donate my time. You know, if you need any online content for your small business and you want to kind of get noticed, because obviously the box store is open, but small businesses are suffering, or small restaurants, let me know. I will definitely put your small restaurant or whatever, or your small business on my social medias. And if it's local, I will eat there instead of any fast food chain or big local or national chain. I'll always eat local and shop local.
Awesome. I love that a lot. So we're going to play our game here and wrap up on the podcast. But I wanted to ask you one more question, just kind of for people that don't play for a living. So if they are that insurance salesman, architect, whatever happens to be a banker, and they're like, you know what, I've always wanted to juggle or something, like, what would you recommend for somebody that just is starting to break out of their shell?
This might be philosophical, and it happened when I went to my first Burning Man by myself. Nice. Yeah, it was one thing I had to go to Burning Man like 7 years ago. It was one thing that was always burning it. Sorry, the pun, burning in me. And so I just bought a ticket and went by myself in my car. I had no idea what I was getting into. And the first day I was there, I ran into a buddy I hadn't seen for 10 years. And he goes, Joel? Wow. I said, Sean? I go, I have no idea what I'm doing here. He goes, here's what you do. And this is the advice part. He threw away my schedule. He goes, don't follow the schedule. Forget the schedule. This is your time. You can do whatever you want. He goes, get on your bike and just ride and get lost. And say yes to everything within reason. Say yes to everything. And if you're happy where you are, stay where you are. If you are not happy where you are, get on your bike and go somewhere else. And then stop again, and don't stop until you get happy again. So just say yes. Wow. and enjoy. Get on that bike and ride.
I love that. And I don't think we can do any better than that. So we better wrap up. But great advice. Yeah. I mean, if you love insurance, keep doing insurance, right? I'm not trying to talk you out of it.
Of course.
Yeah. So yeah, if you love it, stay where you're at. And if you don't, move. I love that. That's great advice. Oh, okay. So I have a feeling you're in, but I always like to ask people, because you can't force anybody to have fun. Would you like to play a game? Would you like to play or walk away?
Oh, play in a heartbeat. Yeah.
All right, here we go. We are going to spin the prize wheel and see which of our 10 games we are going to be playing today. And you got the ABC improv game. So we're going to tell a story going through the letters of the alphabet. Last time I did not make it very far, so I feel like the pressure is on me here instead of you. But would you like to start, or would you like me to start?
I will let you start, and I'll ride that. I think it's easier to start because you have a blank slate, and I will bring the extra paintbrushes.
Okay. After...
Brazil.
Tchaikovsky. Is that a C? No. Yes.
That's a T.
Tchaikovsky. Oh, it's a T. Oh, shoot. I messed it up already. All right. Children. Children. After Brazil, children.
Denounced.
Everything.
For.
Grandma.
Her.
Intuition.
Just.
Kaput.
Like.
Marbles.
That's now, that's pretty cool.
now, over
populated.
Yeah, populated. Okay, yeah.
It's a hyphen now, over hyphen populated.
Questioned,
really
sticky
things.
All right, let's wrap it up there. I feel like we're not going to get any better. Nailed it, though. I got way further than I thought. I only wrote down half the alphabet so that I
could remember where we were. Look, the key is the moral of that story. That's the key, and that's what's important about it. Always listen to grandma. That's really...
That's right. Grandma's intuition. You can't go wrong there. Well, I appreciate it. Once again, thanks for being on the show here. So check out Joel Bryant, joelbryant.net, and on all the social medias and stuff. You can find the right Joel Bryant if you go to joelbryant.net, though. Lots of good YouTube videos and fun comedy bits that you can check out there. And if you'd like more information on Playful Humans, go to playfulhumans.com. Take that Playful Personality Quiz. Find out which type of player you are and what might bring a little bit more fun, flow, and fulfillment to your life. Thank you for listening. And remember, if you can't be good at it. That's what I always say. Now, get out there and play. Don't wait for tomorrow.